Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Canto 4, chapter 13, test number 34. Tulaya malavenapi.
Tulaya malavenapi.
Nasragam napunabhavam.
Nasragam napunabhavam.
Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya.
Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya.
Matyanam King Utashisha.
Matyanam King Utashisha.
Tulaya malavenapi.
Tulaya malavenapi.
Nasragam napunabhavam.
Nasragam napunabhavam.
Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya.
Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya.
Matyanam King Utashisha. Tulaya malavenapi. Nasragam napunabhavam. Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya. Matyanam Kintasisa. Word for word in this translation. Tulayama.
Apunabhavam,
merging into the Brahman
effulgence.
Bhagavat,
of
the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sanghi,
with
associates. Sangasya,
of
association.
Martyanam,
of persons who are destined to die. Kim Uta, how much less?
Prasishaha,
benedictions. Transition from profession of Prabhupada. Even a moment's association with a pure devotee cannot be compared to being transferred to heavenly planets or even merged into the Brahman effulgence in complete liberation. For the many entities who are destined to give up the body and die, the association of pure devotees is the highest benediction. Purport. The great saint Prabodhananda Sarasvati, devotee of Lord Chaitanya, has stated, Kavagam nirakayate, tridasupu akashakushpayate. For a pure devotee, Kaivalya, merging into the existence of Brahman, the Brahman effulgence, is no better than living in hell. Similarly, he considers promotion to heavenly planets, Tridashapur, just another kind of phantasmagoria. In other words, a pure devotee does not place much value in the destination of the karmis, the heavenly planets, or in the destination of jnanis, merging into the Brahman effulgence. A pure devotee considers a moment's association with another pure devotee to be far superior to residing in a heavenly planet or emerging in the Brahman effulgence. The topmost benediction for those who are living in this material world and are subjected to the repetition of birth and death, transmigration, is association with pure devotees. That will make one completely happy, even though living within the material world. This Krishna consciousness movement is started for that purpose. A person who is overly affected materially may take advantage of this movement and become intimately associated with it. In this way, the confused and frustrated inhabitants of this material world may find the highest happiness in association with devotees. Om Gayatri Mahendra Shaikana Jalashakya Chakshavatam Tasma Shigurvena. Welcome, Guru Tavachalam Pangamangai Vekadamya Pipatam Hamande Shigurvena. Jai Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Avita Gadadhar Shri Sadhguru Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we're hearing about the activities of the Prachetas, specifically a moment's association of pure devotees and how powerful that is. So in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse 9, there's a wonderful verse that I wanted to share that speaks about the potency of being an association of devotees and what qualities the pure devotees actually have that allow us to constantly bear memory of Krishna. So, Machit Matat Prana, Orientas Praspa, Katyantas Chap, Ramitam Tusanti Chap, Lamanti Chap. So, the translation is: the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss in conversing. In always enlightening one another and conversing about me. And Prabhupada explains that the characteristics of the pure devotees, that the devotees are 24 hours in a day fully engaged in glorifying the Lord and his pastimes. And because of that constant talking, constant remembrance and constant glorification of the Lord, one's consciousness, one's mind, one's heart also becomes purified. So one's entire existence, even one's, although one is in a material body, the body that they have becomes spiritualized because it is used 100% in Krishna's service. And this is the type of association that the Bhagavatam is recommended that we seek after, those persons who are constantly, not once in a while, not at a certain point in their life, but they constantly dedicated their lives to hearing about Krishna's topics, hearing about Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's dealings with his devotees. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna and they take pleasure in discussing him with other devotees. So the verse that we're reading today is explaining how that even from one moment associating with the pure devotee, especially the qualities of the pure devotee that I mentioned in this 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, just by associating with devotees, being around the pure devotees as they talk about Krishna, as they are absorbed in Krishna, that in itself is enough to also purify us greatly so that we also become attracted and engaged in Krishna's service. So that is why it is said that even by a moment's association, that one can be carried across this material ocean. Now we hear also about the heavenly planets. Now in the Bhagavad Gita as well, there's a lot of explanation about, you know, life on the heavenly planets, how persons on the heavenly planets are able to enjoy greatly and magnificently and for longer periods and in what seems like an unlimited way. But of course we do know that at some point, even on the heavenly planets, that time does come to an end. And Krishna mentions it early in the Bhagavad Gita when he says, Abhama Bhuvana Loka Puna Avartana Arjuna Amapija Tukunteya Puna Janma Navijite. He explains that from the highest planet in this material world, whether it's Janaloka, Tapaloka, the planets of the sages, the planets of the advanced Jnanis, From the highest planets in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery where repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to Maya Guru, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. So although there's so much beautiful description of the heavenly planets and how one's duration of life is long, how the enjoyment is also long, stronger bodies, much better than the earthly planet, still it is a place where there is repeated birth and death. And having lived on this earthly plane, we know what birth and death is like and everything in between. All the changes that the bodies go through, the experiences we have with our own mind, experiences we have with other conditioned souls and their minds, experiences we have with the modes of material nature that are like ropes and bind us to repetitive desires for material things that are never really satisfying for the spirit soul. We have that experience. So even if one goes to the higher realms, one's time is also limited, and one's escape from the shackles of repeated birth and death is not guaranteed, because then Prabhupada Krishna says there is also repeated birth and death in those higher planetary systems. So the goal in a devotee's life, especially in a pure devotee's life, the goal is not to attain heavenly planets. We do not disrespect the domain of the heavenly, the heavenly planets, but it is not the goal of those who are following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. It is not the goal of the Rupanugas. It is not the goal that Prabhupada has established. So our goal, of course, is to follow in the footsteps of our previous acharyas, beginning, of course, with Srila Prabhupada himself, and that is to take shelter of the pure devotees and the examples given in the shastras, like we're reading today. So even the aspect of liberation is not attractive to the devotee. The nectar of devotion goes into great detail about how the pure devotees are not interested in any of the five types of liberation, particularly Sayujya Mukti, where one becomes one with the Lord. Prabhupada mentions later on in the Nectar of Devotion in the same chapter. I'll just turn to it. There's a chapter entitled Devotional Service Surpasses All Liberation. And Prabhupada explains that particularly for a devotee is not particularly interested in Sayujya Mukti, where one merges and becomes one with the Brahmani Fathers, because there's no opportunity for service. There's no opportunity to be personal and to engage with the with Bhagavan, with Krishna. So Sayujya Mukti, out of the five types of liberation, is one that is absolutely not conducive or attractive to the pure devotee. The other types of liberation, living on the same planet, Salokya Mukti, obtaining the same bodily features, Rupya Mukti, having the same opulence of the Lord, and being in constant association of the Lord. These Prabhupada mentions that Prabhupada mentions that the other four liberations, living on the same planet, obtaining the same bodily features, having a constant association with the Lord, and having the same opulence of the Lord, they're not against the devotional ideals. Some of the liberated persons who have achieved these four stages of liberation may also develop affection for Krishna and be promoted to Goloka Vrindavan planet in the spiritual sky. In other words, those who are already promoted to the Vaikuntha planet and who possess the four kinds of liberation may also sometimes develop affection for Krishna and become promoted to Krishna Loka. So even out of these five kinds of liberation, a devotee does not individually try to seek out any one of them. By Krishna's grace, sometimes when we get promoted, to our original constitutional position. The form that we may have may be similar to Krishna's form. It is all Sachidananda. So in that sense, it is similar. We may live on the same planet of the Lord because we've been practicing pure devotional service and we've been elevated. So by default, we could say all these liberations are given to the pure devotee. The four liberations are given to the devotee of the Lord by dint of their practicing pure bhakti. Whereas Sayujya Mukti is one aspect, one type of liberation that the pure devotee does not have any form of attraction for, because it limits their ability to serve Krishna in a personal form, which is the most relishable and topmost form of yoga. So these types of liberation are not attractive. Devotional service by far surpasses any of these liberations if they stand by themselves. So the taste that one gets just even by a moment's association with the pure devotees is by far greater than any amount of pleasure one can derive from any form of liberation. So there's another very nice passage where Prabhupada explains this. Says how much devotional service surpasses an association with a pure devotee. The importance of discussing Srimad Bhagavatam in the society of pure devotees was explained by Shankar Muni during the meeting at Nameshwaranam in the presence of Suta Goswami. Suta Goswami confirmed that if someone is fortunate enough to associate with a pure devotee of the Lord, even for a moment, that particular moment is so valuable that even those pious activities which can promote one to the heavenly planets or give liberation from material miseries cannot compare to it. In other words, those who are attached to Srimad Bhagavatam do not care for any kind of benefit derived from elevation to the higher planetary kingdoms or for the liberation which is conceived of by the impersonalists. As such, the association of pure devotees is so transcendentally valuable that no kind of material happiness can compare to it. So that just comes by associating with the pure devotee, even if it is for a moment. The value of a moment's association is by far the greatest, we could say the greatest jewel a living entity can have. And we have access to a lot of pure devotees in the forms of, you know, Prabhupada has left his lectures, Prabhupada has his books, and there's so many books of the Goswamis that have come out. We have the Sandarbhas that are out, we have Brihad Bhagavatamrita. All these books are really us taking shelter of the words and the realizations of the pure devotees. And on that wave, we can actually ride, we can surf our way back home, back to Godhead, on the strength of these pure devotees and the knowledge and the realization that they've left in the books. And something that has really struck me, one service that I do is copy, edit, and proofread what I'm trying to do. And I remember looking at one translated manuscript of Nectar of Devotion and looking at the Nectar of Devotion that Prabhupada has condensed and really made it simple enough for people like me to read and understand. And it is just absolutely amazing how Prabhupada was able to take that Nectar of Devotion and produce in a very simplified but still potent, nothing has been omitted, but the way Prabhupada has compiled Nectar of Devotion, it is quite amazing. When I read the manuscript and then when I read how Prabhupada presented it to us, I'm thinking, if I was to just read this by myself, I would not understand anything. So Prabhupada's genius was to be able to take something that is so deep and so complex and still preserve the purity and the potency, but in a way that even people in Kali Yuga, in this fallen age can actually understand. So as I read and as I do the service, I'm thinking, it is so complex, it is so intricate when you start to understand the different levels of bhakti, the affection, and how different levels of bhakti are mixed in with this different udipan. It is just, it is so detailed. And the way Prabhupada has presented it to us in the Nectar of Devotion, it is amazing that we're able to get that nectar in a way that is readable for a mind, a Kaliyuga mind. So by associating with these devotees, especially through hearing what they have to say, hearing how they glorify Krishna, we also get inspired. But I cannot say I'm on a platform where I can look at the deities and I'm just overflowing with love and I'm having realizations. I'm not there. But when I hear the devotees take shelter of Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita and glorify Krishna, I get inspired. They inspire me. Now, when you walk into assembly, you hear devotees talking about Krishna. You could just sit there all day and hear. And from hearing their, you know, their pure realizations on Krishna and how to serve Krishna, one gets the inspiration to also want to not directly serve Krishna, but serve those devotees. And it's not that we pop up one day when the spiritual world and let's go and knock on Krishna's door. Directly we're serving Krishna. Even on the topmost level, we are engaged in service by somebody else, by our superiors. Whether it's Vrinda Devi who arranges everything in Vrindavan for us, from the leaf to the flower, she arranges everyone to come and serve Krishna, or any of the, you know, the elderly or the younger gopis, the manjaris, they serve Krishna. So we also, on the highest platform, we're always under someone learning how to serve Krishna. And this is something that is very fascinating, that even on the highest platform you have reached perfection, yet you are still engaged by someone on how to serve Krishna in a particular service. For some devotees, their service could be just sweeping the ground when Krishna walks, and that is your eternal service, and you eternally perfect it. And it is eternally, it is ever growing, it is ever fresh. Right, or your service could be, like if you look at the Astasakis, they have specific services. Some of them, their service is just to fan Krishna at certain pastimes. That is just their service, and they perfect it. Or making forest or fruit garlands for Krishna. And still, that is something that they are taught by another, you know, another devotee. So even as we're sadhakas, we're practicing how to become devotees, even at the highest platform, those devotees who have attained perfection, they still learn how to serve Krishna better, even though they're perfected. So it's an eternal ongoing thing, just like the queens would sweep the palaces in Dwarka, even though there was no dust. They just wanted to serve. They would want to do it perfectly. So even if the devotee is on the most advanced platform, they know how to serve Krishna because they've gone through lifetimes of being in Krishna's pastimes, still they want to get trained to serve perfectly. So by constantly hearing the pure devotees enthusiastically and with affection discuss Krishna's pastimes, and with love discuss how to serve Krishna and how to serve Krishna's devotees, we also get that inspiration. Prabhupada mentions in the purport that we should search out such pure devotees and remain with them. What we could say, and Prabhupada said, that will make us completely happy, even in this material world. This material world is not a nice place. I think this year has showed us, if you had a doubt about the material world being a nice place, it is not a comfortable place. It is not survival of the fittest, because no one survives. Now they coined this term, survival of the fittest, like no one is surviving in the material world. If you're not sedating yourself, You know, many people, it's very, very difficult for some people to go through life sober because the ropes, you know, these three gunas, they are binding. It's like you're chained and it's painful, right? And you're going through life and there's these gunas, there's your mind, there's other living entities. You're constantly under attack in the material world. Right? As they say, Dukkhayama Shastatam. Every step you're thinking, look left, right, left again, look right. There's danger everywhere. If it's not time coming to grab your youth, it is disease coming. If it's not Maya's tricks or illusions packaged in a different way, if it's not your bhakti creepers trying to grow and you have all these weeds that mimic the bhakti creeper, simultaneously your creeper of devotion to Krishna grows, the weeds grow even stronger. The weeds of lust, anger, envy, illusion, madness, you name it, the weeds of identifying with the body, identifying with the mind, they are growing simultaneously. So we have to be very vigilant to make sure that as our bhakti creeper grows, we pull out the weeds at the same time. We shouldn't think, I got it, got initiated, I got my name, done, sign sealed, I have been delivered. Hallelujah. Now it's we're working every day to make sure that we're not forgetful. Right, so the best way to make sure that we're not forgetful of the situation is to always hear, constantly remind ourselves. That's why it says we have to constantly and regularly hear Bhagavatam. Although Bhagavatam, sometimes you may think it is so, it may be so negative. Oh, this world is horrible. Oh, you might as well drink poison, embrace a tiger, then, you know, associate with this person, or you can just cut out your tongue. It can sound very negative, like, oh, it's so negative, we're gonna die. Our body's just a bag of mucal bile and pus and urine. We may think like that, but the reality is, unless it really sinks in, we have to keep hearing and we have to keep getting reminded of what the reality actually is. Even if that reality is disguised as variety and it's just life and growth and the journey of whatever. Why both sides have to be there. There's wonderful pastimes of Krishna and his devotees, which are beautiful and attractive, but also the nature of the material world and just how hellish it is also there. And it has to be there, otherwise we won't want to leave. We will think this place is comfortable, this is my home, I have beauty, wealth, fame, knowledge, why would I want to go anywhere? Why would I want to leave? I can come see the deities, I can chant Hare Krishna, my health is good. There won't be any impetus to actually want to break out. But when we're constantly reminded of the downfall of being in the material world, having a material gross body, then we can quickly realize that actually this is not fit, as Prabhupada would say, this material world is not fit for a gentleman or a gentle lady. You do not belong here. So we have to be constantly reminded. And what better way to be reminded than to be in the association of devotees and hear the words of the pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada's commentary and purports. So it is vital, the most important aspect of our bhakti practice is that we associate with devotees, because if we're our own island or if we're too far away from the devotees, we may slip and we may forget these important points that actually guard us against falling down. But when you are around devotees are very merciful. They can help us remember that, oh Prabhu, maybe you should, you know, let's come a bit more, or let's do a bit more service. Devotees are kind, they remind us. Even though sometimes we don't want to hear it, but it is their mercy. Thank you. A person who is overly affected materially may take advantage of this movement and become intimately associated with it. In this way, the confused and frustrated inhabitants of this material world may find the highest happiness in association with devotees. And that is true. There's a lot of confusion and frustration in this world. And oftentimes it's very difficult for people to understand the nature of material existence. When you explain to a new person sometimes how the modes work, how the, you know, what ignorance is stemming from, how the modes work, how we identify with the body, you know, people are just amazed and shocked. They're like, wow, that makes sense. When you explain that this world, it is happiness, it is distress, there's winter and summer season, things will come and go, you have no control over. You need to learn how to live in this world. You have a manual, we have a guidebook, we have a lifestyle that we practice that helps us not sink and drown. So when we explain the nature of this world as being temporary, as being a concocted reflection of the real thing, it starts clicking in people's hearts and people's minds. And they start understanding, oh, it's not what it's cut out to be. The world tells us, this is the best nation, that's the strongest nation, the best place to be, it is paradise. Even paradise has its moments, you know? Mother Nature shows us who's in charge. There's nothing you can do when you have ghastly winds and floods and fire. We are powerless. So when we start learning about this world and how this world operates, then we will know how to operate within this world. And that is why Bhagavad Gita is such a powerful tool or a guidebook to help us understand the nature of this world, so that we're not fooled, we're not confused about what this world brings. Just wanted to share one more thing before questions. So the end of the first chapter 6 in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains the best type of yogi. You go to yoga, yoga is big, you go to yoga schools here, there. They like talking about karma, do a little bit of karma yoga, maybe hatha yoga or ashtanga yoga. And there's not much understanding of what bhakti yoga is or buddhi yoga. You know, acting with intelligence. But Krishna, in this middle section, after he explains the yoga ladder, Krishna specifies out of all of them the fruitive workers, the karmis, the gyanis. Krishna explains that out of all yogis, the one with great faith who abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. So all these things, specifically rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna in the purports and also throughout Nectar of Devotion, it is very clear and it's very helpful that Prabhupada specifies that we try to render loving devotion. We're not just trying to do things mechanically or whimsically or without thought, but we try to put our love into the service that we do. And Prabhupada also mentioned that we put love and affection into whatever work that we do for Krishna. So Prabhupada doesn't specify that it has to be, you know, you have to do a specific type of service. Prabhupada mentioned that many services, there's many things that you can do for the pleasure of Krishna, but we try to put our love into those activities, and Krishna will reciprocate. Even if sometimes we see ourselves as not being qualified, but Krishna does reciprocate. We see Krishna in his different pastimes. He also reciprocates with, you know, devotees who come to, we could say, play demons. Those who try to poison him or capture him, Krishna still reciprocates with them, has pastimes with those devotees. I just wanted to read one example here of Maharaj Preetam from the fourth canto. There's a prayer that he makes. He says, "My dear Lord, if after taking liberation I have no chance of hearing the glories of your lordship's glories chanted by pure devotees from the core of their hearts in praise of your lotus feet, and if I have no chance for this honey of transcendental bliss, then I shall never ask for liberation or this so-called spiritual emancipation. I shall simply always pray unto your lordship that you may give me millions of tongues and millions of ears so that I can constantly chant and hear your transcendental glories." So this is coming from Maharaj Preetam. That even just hearing the nectarian pastimes of Krishna, there's nothing sweeter than that. Not even liberation comes close. No, any type of spiritual emancipation comes close to hearing the glories of Krishna. And that is something that is touched heavily in the Purport. And later on in the sixth canto, just to see how different personalities understand the potency of pure devotional service to Krishna, surpassing all other types of spiritual steps or steps to realization. In the 6th canto, 11th chapter, verse 25, there is a similar statement by Vritrasura. "My dear Lord, by leaving your transcendental service, I may be promoted to the planet called Dhruvaloka, the pole star, or I may gain lordship over all the planetary systems of the universe. But I do not aspire to this, nor do I wish the mystic perfections of yoga practice, nor do I aspire to spiritual emancipation. All I wish for my Lord is your association and transcendental service eternally." So even different types of devotees who have different rasas with the Lord are recognizing the topmost sweetness that one experiences in performing transcendental loving service to the Lord. In your praise, "My dear Mother, persons who have given up all kinds of desire and are simply engaged in devotional service to the Lord know what is actually their self-interest. Such persons are actually serving their self-interest and are considered first-class experts in the matter of advancing to the professional stage of life." So, the smartest thing, of course, we try to follow in the footsteps of those pure devotees and take their association, even if it's temporary, because we all have an expiration date on this planet. We will go at some point. So to the best of our ability, we try to take shelter and hear from the pure devotees. However, we have, in the form of books, Prabhupada's words, his lectures, we can still hear Prabhupada's voice. We can still access all his teachings, and that is a great blessing and benediction to humanity. And we are very fortunate. If we look at, you know, different philosophers that have come and gone in the world, whether it's Socrates or Plato, you name it, we didn't live in their times, there's not much recorded of them, but we have these great jewels, these books and these lectures and tapes, an association of persons who were around Srila Prabhupada. So as much as you can, you should take full advantage of that before that before our expiration date. So I'll stop and ask if there's any comments or questions. Thank you very much. Back home, back to Godhead, Kijan, and Sanchi, Akshay, and Bhagavata.